And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Good morning and welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. I am your host, Mark Gillar, and what a show we have for you today. My guest is Dr. Jerome Corsi, the author of 5 New York Times bestsellers, including Unfit for Command, Showdown with Nuclear Iran, The Late Great USA, America for Sale, and The Obama Nation. His current book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The Case That Barack Obama Is Not Eligible to Be President, has also hit number one. Dr. Corsi, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
You know, the last time you were on my show, I opened by asking you if you had any thoughts about changing the title of Obama Nation to I Told You So. I'm going to start this time by asking you if you have any plans of changing the title of your current book to Where's the Real Birth Certificate?
Well, I think Joseph Farah is going to launch a billboard campaign for WorldNet Daily under the Where's the Real Birth Certificate. I'm happy to keep the title just like it is. I'm still looking for the birth certificate. We don't even need to add the real in it, although it's kind of a nice touch. He may put Where's the Real Birth Certificate at some point or other, the printing of my book. It wouldn't surprise me. It's clear to me that this is a fraud, and I think it's becoming increasingly clear. I'll be reporting, I'm going to write it up this weekend, but I'll report on the criminal complaint one of the top scanner experts in the world filed last week with the Justice Department, with the FBI. The complaint is in, it's been filed, and I'll make a point now of writing it up in detail, 2 or 3 articles in WorldNet Daily, so everybody gets a good feel of exactly what the charges are, the proof, the forensic proof, that this, in fact, is a fraudulent document.
Well, do you think the FBI is going to do anything with it, or is the White House going to call that field office and say, hey, you know, ixnay on the birth certificate thing? I mean,
well, clearly, you've got a corrupt administration, and a corrupt administration is not going to investigate itself. So, you know, the reality or the likelihood of this going anywhere is pretty low. Under Eric Holder, this Justice Department is about as political as it gets, and Barack Obama and Valerie Jarrett are going to sit in the White House and laugh at anybody who thinks they're going to get anything out of this, you know, investigation. But you've got to take the step anyway. And when I get the forensic evidence out there and we publish it, and you know, eventually next week I'll be posting a few things on Scrib too, some of the additional documents I've got, this full complaint that's been filed. It's hard to keep these things contained. I mean, you know, the White House, last thing the president needs to be doing is playing Bruce Springsteen's songs, you know, Born in the USA at his rallies and reminding everybody that this issue is still around.
Well, I think you did America a great service, because there is no question in my mind that he had been holding this as an ace up his sleeve for the 2012 election.
I've got 2 of the October surprises, maybe, that were used in the attempt to prevent my book from getting out. Wouldn't surprise me if it were both an attempt to, you know, the Osama bin Laden timing is also very suspicious. But between the Osama bin Laden timing of his killing and the, you know, release of this birth certificate, my guess is that these things had been planned, and the information I had was that we forced the White House to use 2 of its big October surprises in advance.
Well, congratulations on that. You know, when you even bring up this issue, and of course the left likes to call it the birther issue, and we're all a bunch of crazies, but you're talking about a man who, during the course of his life, and you point this out in the book, has gone by 4 different names: Barack Hussein Obama, Barack Hussein Obama II, Barry Satoru, and my personal favorite, Barack Hussein Obama Sobarka.
Yeah, am I correct? You can put them all together. Is what have we got? We got Barry, Barack, Hussein, you know, Obama, Satoru, Sobarka. I mean, how many more names does he need? Maybe a few more, few names we don't know about.
Yeah. In addition to having 4 different legal names that he's used in his life, we still don't have any concrete proof that his Social Security number is legit.
Correct.
He won't release his travel records, won't release his employment records, won't release his grade transcripts, won't release his financial aid applications. In fact, for people that have dared to dabble in his travel records and his financial aid applications, there have been severe penalties, have there not?
Yes, and I point this out in the beginning of the book, is that, you know, the breach of his passport records may well have resulted in the death of this Lieutenant Coral Harris. Drive-by shooting, he was, you know, doing theft of passport records at the same time. Two employees of, you know, John Brennan's security agency looked at Barack Obama's passport records. That's when Barack Obama admitted he went to Pakistan. I wonder how many other countries Barack Obama's been in that we don't know about. And also, Brennan got rewarded. He was made counterterrorism czar in the White House. Those people in Davenport, Iowa, who dared to look at Obama's student loan records, now they've been looking at stars and everything else. Nobody bothered them. They look at Obama's student loan records. Next day, the FBI's in the office. Makes it clear Obama's records are all tagged, all protected, all sealed. We've got, you know, the American people would tolerate this in a president we know so little about, I think is very frightening. And I point out in the book that the original birther attack was on McCain.
That's correct.
The Democrats and the mainstream media went after McCain for months. McCain presented his birth credentials to Congress. Obama would not. Obama knows he's, see, at the core of this whole, I think what makes, the book so fascinating is that at the core, Barack Obama knows he's got a guilty conscience. He knows he's not eligible to be president. He's got a father who was born, his father was Kenyan, so at birth Barack Obama was a dual citizen of the Commonwealth of Great Britain. That's, Kenya was a Commonwealth country. Well, that alone is a disqualification. Shouldn't need to go any further than that. You know, they were looking at John McCain. John McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone. His father was in the military, in the Navy, and Congress, the resolution Barack Obama sponsored, specified the criteria was to be natural born, was two U.S. parents, which McCain had, and born in the United States. But McCain was waived from that requirement because the Congress felt, I think appropriately, that the founders never meant to exclude somebody who was born outside the U.S. because their parents were serving the military.
Well, speaking of the founding fathers, one of the things that would have helped us would have been if the founding fathers had given us a clear-cut definition of natural born. And, you know, when you're talking to an electorate that is more comfortable watching American Idol than the History Channel, trying to explain the difference between a naturalized citizen, a native-born citizen, and a natural-born citizen can be rather tricky.
Yeah,
but
I take it on in the book. I mean, I think, look, it was pretty clear. John Jay's letter to Washington was clear. You've got one court decision, which is really the only court decision on point, Minor v. Happersett, 1874. I mean, it's clear. To me, the natural-born citizen, which is a subset of citizen, not all citizens are natural-born citizens, really has the following characteristics. Two U.S. parents, citizens, when you're born, and born on U.S. soil. That's really all there is to it.
Or a U.S. military base.
Well, I mean, you know, yes. I mean, there's a couple of exceptions, but the exceptions don't alter the fundamental rule. And, you know, the 14th Amendment does not extend to redefine natural-born citizen. There's the case law. If you take a look at the cases, just to give you an example, the 14th Amendment, I think, has been inappropriately applied to say, you know, a legal alien who has a baby in the United States, that baby is now considered a birthright citizen because they're born in the United States. That's not what the 14th Amendment meant, because that child is probably not under the jurisdiction of the United States, which is the additional phrase in the 14th Amendment. Let's take for a minute that child is a birthright citizen. Still not a natural-born citizen because the parents were not U.S. citizens when the child was born. We're going to have the same issue, I point out, with Marco Rubio and with Bobby Jindal. Rubio's father was not naturalized until 1974, and Jindal's parents were not U.S. citizens when he was born. Neither one is a natural-born citizen.
And can we go ahead and predict now that despite the fact that the White House has tried to blur the lines between native-born and natural-born, that liberals will be raising this very same issue and embracing the correct definition of natural-born if either of those two gentlemen decides to run for the presidency?
You can count on it. Because the one thing you can count on about the liberals is they're hypocrites. They will only use an argument when it meets their needs. They don't feel any need for consistency because they don't believe in rules or truth. Everything's relative. All they want to do is win. Doesn't make any difference what principles they hold. The left, This left today has no resemblance to the left that my father grew up in, you know, the 30s and 40s. This left is communist, Bill Ayers, radical. Barack Obama was trained as a communist. That's what I say in Abomination. Not a socialist, not a progressive, a communist.
I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
Frankly, if you look at the people he associated with, his mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, Bill Ayers. I mean, Obama's parents were communists. His stepfather was a communist. His grandparents were probably communists. I don't know that you could have anybody in a better environment to become a communist than Barack Obama had as he was growing up.
They'll lie about anything. This birth certificate, which was produced, you know, within the last 20 minutes, if this would have existed over, you know, why wasn't it released 3 years ago? If the population weren't so dummy down, we would never accept this. We want Barack Obama in a compliant press.
Dr. Corsi, let's go ahead and get into the, because I know you're short on time today, and there are so many anomalies in this birth certificate. I'd like to just go down, or rather let you go down a list of what's wrong with the long-form birth certificate that was released from the White House.
Well, there's so much wrong with it that we won't cover everything. We'll just cover a few points.
Highlight a few of them.
And I'm going to make, this will be what I'm writing when I write this up, and over the next, it's probably going to take me two or three articles next week. I'll be working on them this weekend. But just to kind of get into it, if you take a look at it, it's not just that there's layers in this document, but there's obvious indications of manipulation of the text. So I'm going to comment about a couple things there. If you, for instance, go up to the number, the birth certificate number up in the right-hand corner, and you just, you know, magnify that in any program, you're going to see that basically the one is a JPEG. When you do expand that number on the right-hand corner, the one just obviously looks different than the other numbers. The line is straight, the tone of the gray is lighter, it's solid as opposed to the pixels that you see in the others, the jagged lines in the others at the end, on the borders, the edges, that's a JPEG. That one is a picture image. It was dropped in there, and the pixels around it look disturbed. You know, you can see many more pixel structures around the one than you can around any of the other numbers. That's because whoever dropped that JPEG in there wasn't very good. They didn't know how to go back and repair the pixels around it. So it's obvious that this is a dropped-in character. It's got the masking characteristics of when you drop something into. You can also see it with the R in Barack in the top line. That R is obviously a JPEG. It was dropped in. For some reason, whoever was taking the composites to put together this document took Barack and it had a weak R in it, so they replaced it with an R. Why they did that, I don't know, but, you know, again, the dates of the registry, the registrar dates, accepted by the local registrar, again, the one in 1961, very different characteristic than the other letters. So when you go and look at these things, the boxes, you know, it looks to me like they were working from a birth certificate that had that was originally for twins, because in the box, you know, born first or second, the first two boxes, if you look at them under magnification, are identical. Pixel structure is identical. Well, no two boxes would have identical picture structures unless they were copied and pasted.
Hmm.
So these kind of characteristics are all through the document. And you'll find that all through the document that, you know, the evidence of cutting and pasting is there. I think it was taken in a composite from two or three different birth certificates and put together in this kind of a format. The other things I think that are very important to note are when you take a look at the stamp of the registrar at the bottom. It's a stamp, you know, like a rubber stamp with ink. It's not a seal, it's a stamp for Alvin Onaka. And you expand that. When you expand that, you get TXE instead of the, and the record. I don't know if you're doing it right now, but others I'm sure are, and you can see that. And also in the A of Alvin's signature, well, if you expand it, you know, magnify it about 800%, you can see there's a smiley face in that A, in the loop of the A.
I can see that without magnifying it.
Yeah. When you magnify it, it's clear that that smiley face, which is, you know, bizarre. Why do you have a smiley face in the... Alvin Onaka is a very serious PhD. He's not going to let his stamp out there with smiley faces in it and misspellings. You know, I've looked at hundreds of his stamps, and they're not there's never misspelling. And he doesn't put little, you know, dots and smiley faces in his letters. He's not, you know, he's not a 12-year-old kid. But if you take a look at that smiley face, it's really an E, and you've got this X, which is either X or a walking K, and then the E. You know, I've said from the beginning, you've got the beginning of Mike, end of Mike, K-E, M-I-K-E. And I'm going to be starting to show more of these characteristics over the next couple of weeks and tie them together from some other things I've been looking at that have similar characteristics in it. Because I think there's signatures in here of who did the forging. There's pretty clear evidence it wasn't scanned. You know, so the forensic examination of this document, the document's not going to hold up. And the question is who forged it, and what documents did they forge it from, and who cooperated with them in the forgery within the Hawaii Department of Health?
One of the theories is the reason this is such a poor forgery is that the individual that did it must be someone very close and very trusted by Barack Obama, and therefore that probably limited the number of computer people at his disposal that might be close to having the ability to pull something like this off. What I'd like to do is just run down a quick list, and I'm not going to go into the type of detail you did, but if I say anything that's wrong regarding anomalies in this birth certificate, stop me. We were told originally by a Hawaiian official that the birth certificate had been seen by her own eyes and that it was half written and half typed. This one clearly is not.
Correct.
This birth certificate looks nothing like the birth certificate of the Nordyke twins who were born within 24 hours of Barack Obama at the same hospital. The layout, the format, the template, if you will, is very different.
Well, and also, let me add a footnote there. Why is the Nordyke twins done in microfiche with a photostat, white on black produces the copy, and how come Barack Obama's appears to be a paper? Why wasn't Barack Obama's reduced to microfiche at the same time the Nordyke's was reduced to microfiche?
Excellent question. Now, speaking of the Nordyke twins, the serial number is wrong. Even though they were born after Barack Obama, they have a lower serial number. And my understanding is the way these things are done, they're done with a stamp that automatically progresses by one each time it's used. So
yeah,
they should have had a... Go ahead.
In fact, if you take a look at the article I published on that, I found the article, 1955, written by Charles Bennett, who was the Registrar General at the time Obama was born. And this Registrar General created a system where he reduced the number of local registrars from 35 to 4, down much tightly, more tightly controlled. When the birth certificates were date stamped by the general registrar, they were also number stamped to give, that's where the number certificate number came. That number was not originally printed on the form. It was stamped with a Bates mechanical stamper. So anything that was registered 3 days earlier, like Obama's birth certificate, had to have a lower number. Unless, of course, when the people forging the short form birth certificate made a mistake. And remember, that short form birth certificate was first shown with the number blacked out. You know, I think the Daily Cause, when they first showed it, didn't show the number. It was only when people objected that they actually showed the number. I think they knew they had a problem with that number from the beginning because they weren't confident they'd picked the right one. It was almost a year before we saw the Nordyke twins' birth certificates. The mother realized that her children, her twins were born in the same hospital a day after Obama, and she kind of held these birth certificates up and showed them to the Honolulu newspaper, and that's how they got seen. So when you're really getting, you know, doing an analysis of this, the number that was picked for Obama, whoever did the initial forging, absolutely had access to the number series around which Barack Obama's should have been. They just picked the wrong number.
Let me play devil's advocate for a moment, which is exactly what you're doing whenever you propose an argument that might benefit Barack Obama. Let's say that somewhere at the DOH there was a lazy bureaucrat. These things came in, they were stacking up on his or her desk, and so when they got the things, Obama's came in first, the Nordyke twins came in after that, theirs got placed on top of Barack Obama's, so when the person started catching up with his or her work, they stamped them in reverse order.
Not possible.
Okay.
First of all, there were only eight babies born on the 4th of August, and there were only 23 born on the 5th. There are about 10 of these forms, 10 or 12 going through the department every day. And the guy who created the system, Charles Bennett, makes a big point that he wants to be compliant with the U.S. Census vital records for birth. He was about 97% compliant because Hawaii was going to become a state, and they wanted to make sure that their birth records were included in the whole, in the U.S. total. So he wouldn't tolerate that kind of laziness or that kind of inefficiency. You know, if you're going to stamp, if the general registrar is going to stamp the date stamp on the registered August 8th, well, he's going to also then stamp the number on it. You're not going to put that in a different pile and get to them later. You've got to give it its number in its order when you've stamped it. And you can't be having, you know, somebody come back through, especially not from the U.S. Census Bureau, and say your numbers are all out of order. No bureaucrat, you can count on pretty much one thing. Bureaucrats who keep these kind of records make a lot of mistakes, but they don't get their numbers out of order.
Well, since the date and the serial numbers were put on at the same time, there's no way the dates could be in the proper order, but the serial numbers be in reverse order.
Precisely. See, that's the problem. And look, it may be, I mean, I've looked at this Virginia Sunahara, who was, you know, born on August 4th of 1961 and died the next day. We can't tell what her birth certificate number is, but of course, you know, this is a common tactic from intelligence agencies going back, you know, a long time, maybe hundreds of years, is to pick the identity or the birth certificate number or the records of a child who died around the time you were born, because that person's dead. Nobody's going to complain if you're using their birth certificate number. You know, Virginia Sunahara's mother is alive. She doesn't even want to talk about the child. This child was probably a painful experience in her life. It was, the child was born. The child didn't do very well from birth. The child died within a day. You know, people who lose a child after 9 months pregnancy and the child dies in a day or two, it's a very traumatic experience for the woman and the husband. And she doesn't want to talk about it. She certainly doesn't have the birth certificate number. And she couldn't care less if Barack Obama's birth certificate number on her daughter was her daughter's birth certificate number. They picked that 10641 for some reason. Now, we don't know. We can't go into the Hawaii Department. Now, these things would be fairly easy to resolve. You just get the Hawaii Department of Health to open up their books to forensic examination, and you start looking at the birth certificates around the Barack Obamas. You could answer most of these questions. But again, the cover-up is fully going on, and that Hawaii department has no intention of opening anything up. I mean, one more thing I want to get to before we run out of time.
Sure.
I think is really important is that, you know, the documents I've released on Kenya, and I think I was thinking this morning I'll probably put them up on Scribd. I've got the two documents that show that, you know, the Kenyan government was looking for Obama's birth records going back to 2007.
I'm sorry, the Kenyan government was looking as early as 2007?
Yes.
And that was at the request of the Bush administration?
It was the request of the Bush administration, also because of the internal, it was also motivated internally, because the grandmother had been saying for a long time that Barack Obama was born in Kenya, in Mombasa. I wouldn't doubt if when Barack Obama first went to Africa in all his college years, and of course we don't have his travel records, we don't have a precise idea of how many times he was there, what years or what months, et cetera. But I'm sure the grandmother, when she first met Barack Obama, said, I was present at your birth. I bet she told him. She tells everybody else that when she gets a chance. I've got any number of stories from the grandmother, and the Kenyan government does. I've got the intelligence reports from the Kenyan government. The grandmother told them she was present at his birth. Of course, she told a bunch of other stories, but this was the one they latched on to. It's one I latch on to. Obama's family has been trying to hide this birth secret for a long time. The Kenyan government decided the same thing. Well, the most important conclusion, the Kenyan government documents on government stationery that the birth records of Obama were criminally altered. The 1961 birth records in Kenya were criminally altered. They went through a pattern of being criminally altered, which is a very important and serious charge. I've also had various sources go into the Mombasa hospitals, and I can independently verify the birth records in Mombasa were taken, rearranged, messed up with. So the Kenyan government reports, and Bush administration was inquiring in 2008, the Kenyan government reports that they asked for a criminal investigation within Kenya to see who did the birth tampering. It was not random. It was designed to eliminate Obama's records. They say this in the reports. And the Kenyan government told Ambassador Randenberger to report back to the White House, George W. Bush, that the Kenyan government didn't have Obama's birth certificate, but that didn't mean it didn't once exist. They had every reason to believe it had existed, but was criminally altered and tampered with. We published them in WorldNet Daily. The articles are out there. You can see the link. Just search for it, and you'll find the article in which we published the two Kenyan documents. They're out there. They just didn't receive very much attention when I published them.
I'd like to put links to that in my newsletter that we'll be sending out later today. Do I have your permission to do that?
Yeah, sure. Just find it and do it. It's one letter was written by Kisombe, I think it was K-I-S-O-M-B-E, who was the immigration guy. And, you know, you can find the article. I can Google it while we're talking.
Oh, that's okay. It's not necessary. I'll find it. Now, I would like to issue a challenge to all young liberals out there, because as you well know, Dr. Corsi, from a social media high-tech marketing standpoint, the right got its butt kicked in the 2008 election. So these young liberals know about computers. One of the things that's been pointed out by you and by computer experts is that when you type on a typewriter, the space between each letter is the same. When you type on a computer is much smarter than that. It adjusts the spacing between the letters based on what letters you're typing. There are letters, there are words on this document that Obama released that clearly had to be typed on a computer because a typewriter couldn't do it. Am I correct?
Yes, that's right. The kerning is obvious, and you know, some of the letters fitting closer together adjusted to make them easier to read, which is a computer characteristic of a computer print and type.
One last question. Where do you think this is going to go from here? Your expert has filed the complaint with the FBI. Is it going to be up to citizen journalists everywhere to get the word out on this? I don't expect that you'll get much coverage from the mainstream media.
I expect none at all. No coverage from the mainstream media at all. Mainstream media wants the story to be dead. The story is not going to die. And it's going to have the more people that can get involved in it and solve this thing, the better. I get excellent tips from everybody, from people every day, both on my Facebook page and my direct email. I'd rather they send it to jcorsi@wnd.com. That's the better email to reach me. My Facebook page, look, I'm getting 1,000 emails a day. It's hard for me to make sure I see everything that people are sending me. But people out there have important information, and I'm open to receiving it from them. I get tips every day from people who have information or documents or have been examining something. And this is by no means done. I think we will hit brakes in the case. I'm saying I'll give it about 2 months, and 2 months is going to look very different than it does today. 2 months will have had enough time to educate the public that this document's a forgery. I think once the public catches on to it, and my book is now going to be a bestseller, it's going to be on the New York Times bestselling list on June 5th, and I think we're into a situation where you're going to find much more acceptance in the public once the numbers start going. Once we get back up to 51% of the people who believe this document's a forgery, I think the White House is going to have a very hard time sustaining it, because now the White House is committed to this document. Another reason I didn't change the title of the book. I knew the document had been forged. I was waiting for it to come public. I wanted to force Obama to see if I could get him to flinch and to release the document. Now that it's released, they're stuck with it, and Obama is now in the chain of evidence. If this document's fraudulent, Obama's committed a felony. That's an impeachable offense.
No,
I've got to run.
I know you have to move on to another interview. I'll tell everyone how they can get the book. Thank you for being here. We'll have you back another day to talk some more about it.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Corsi.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. For those of you who would like to get a copy of the book, Where's the Birth Certificate? It's available on Amazon.com. It's available in all bookstores. We're going to throw up a couple of links here on the Tea Party Power Hour to let people know, to link to the various places that you can get the book. I know at one time books were available via the WorldNet Daily website, and you could even get autographed copies. I'm not certain if there are any of those that are still left. But I would encourage you to pick up a copy of this book. I personally was fortunate enough to receive an advance review copy. I have completed it, and I can tell you that this is a real eye-opener. You are going to learn things about the president in addition to the birth certificate. They're going to make you question who Barack Obama really is. As I said earlier in the interview, we're talking about a guy who has a Social Security number that was issued in a state that neither he nor any of his relatives ever lived in, Social Security number that once belonged to someone else, and the United States government does not reissue Social Security numbers. We're talking about a guy who has hidden his grades, his transcripts, his student loan applications, his travel records, you name it, and this guy has spent money doing it. And one of the things that we have not had the time to get into today is that Barack Obama has spent nearly $2 million covering this up. Now, some of you might say, well, how would you know what Barack Obama is paying his attorneys? Well, the reason we know that is because Dr. Corsi has reviewed documents from Obama for America, that's Obama's campaign group, and he's looked at detailed invoices to a law firm. In fact, Robert Bauer is part of that law firm. Many of you will know him as the husband of Anita Dunn. And they've looked at the billing. Now, this law firm is the law firm that's been taking on all the lawsuits regarding the various documents. So I think by the early part of 2010, by the first quarter of 2010, the figure was already at $1.6 million. So to conclude that now, more than a year later from that date, the figure would be over $2 million that Barack Obama has spent to keep many documents from his life that all, or I should say most presidential candidates have released without any concern. You know, to say that the figure is now $2 million is not a stretch at all. The bigger question here isn't whether or not it's $1.9 million or $2.1 million. The bigger question is, why has he spent so much money to cover this up? And once again, I would love to issue a challenge to all these young liberals who spend all day, you know, punching buttons on their BlackBerries and punching buttons on their iPhones and, you know, spending their day on the computer and in chat rooms, and who know so much more about computers than many older folks do, to explain why Barack Obama's birth certificate, in fact, has letters. And Dr. Corsi used the term kerning, which basically means that the spacing between the letters in a word typed by a computer are adjusted based on what those letters are. For instance, you might put a little bit more space between two letters, and then if you had two completely different letters, there might be a little less space based on the way those letters were shaped. There is obvious kerning that had to be done by a computer. Unless someone wants to suggest that for no reason Hawaiian bureaucrats were attempting to kern manually back in 1961. But there are obvious examples of kerning in this document that had to be typed on a computer. And I would love for any liberal out there, please send this link to the show to any liberal you know and issue this challenge. In fact, let's send it to some famous liberals, Joy Behar, Bill Maher, Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, any of these people. Send one to Matt Damon while you're at it. Ask them why this document has evidence that certain words on the document were typed via computer. There's no getting around that. You could not have faked this with a computer back in 1961. I'll close by saying this document is not only a forgery, it is a poor forgery. Computer experts around the globe have come forward to say so. In fact, there was one computer expert who supposedly had said that the document was legit. Even Fox News ran with the story on their website. Expert confirms birth certificate legit. The gentleman's name was Jean-Claude Tremblay. He's a Canadian. I spoke with him via a live Twitter conversation. I have the screen captures of that conversation, and he clearly said that he was misinterpreted. He stopped just short of saying that he was misquoted, but he said he was misinterpreted. And he said that what he told Fox News is that it's impossible to tell whether the document is a fake or not. Later in our conversation, he said that there was evidence of enhancement on the document. So the document had been changed, but there was no way to tell if it had been altered or if just certain aspects of the document originally there had been enhanced. We now know through closer forensic examination that there's a lot wrong with this document that just doesn't hold up. But for all you liberals out there who say that, you know, we should all be wearing tinfoil hats and that this is not an issue, it is an issue. If a president of the United States has essentially been spending millions of dollars for years to cover up fraudulent, felonious activity, this is a huge issue. This certainly makes Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky look like nothing. This would be the biggest scandal in U.S. history once it is proven, and I believe it will be, thanks to the efforts of Dr. Corsi and our friends at WorldNet Daily. Now, once again, look at the document yourself. We'll post it up on our Tea Party Power Hour website later today. Take a look at the things that are being said about it. Look at that big smudge where the doctor had checked the box MD. You might wonder, why such a big smudge? That's because in the original document on the box above regarding who was filing the request for the birth certificate, it said other, which means the grandparents could have done it. Stanley Ann, and that's her actual name, Stanley Ann, could have been in Africa at the time. Who knows? I mean, there's no way to know where she was on the planet at this particular time. And it's obvious from looking at this thing that that smudge was meant to cover up the word other, because someone other than one of the parents actually made their formal request and went in and filed for this document. Take a look at it. If you don't believe me, come up with a better solution or a better explanation as to why that smudge is so big and located exactly where it is. I don't know if there's anything else you can say about this. You know, this is one of those things where, you know, you hear the old joke about a woman walking in on her husband and he's with his secretary or some other female business associate, and he turns to his wife and says, are you going to believe your eyes or believe me? This is one of those cases where, are you going to believe your eyes or are you going to believe Barack Obama? Are you going to believe the Obama administration? It's your choice. But this is a serious criminal offense. There's no getting around the fact that this birth certificate was forged. It will come out. We will be proven right. Dr. Corsi, who's been called every name in the book by the left, will be vindicated, and all the shills for the Obama administration, and shills probably isn't the right word because they're very overt about it, will have egg left on their face and will have to deal with this for the rest of what I hope will be their short careers. For the Tea Party Power Hour, thank you for listening. I'm Mark Gillar. We'll talk to you next week when our guest will be Eric Stackelbeck, who is the author of The Terrorist Next Door. Thank you for being with us today. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar, a production of the Conservative Broadcasting Network.